Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. In his message titled, Of Debt and Preparation, Reverend David Williams tells us that if you have a vision of how you will be in the future, it is a blessing. The vision helps you take steps towards your goal. God's desire for us is to be prepared to walk the path into the future. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
In a season of preparation, a season when we both anticipate the arrival of the Christ child, but also prepare our hearts for it, setting ourselves as best we can towards the life that Jesus calls us to. And that, as human beings who live in a society that teaches us to expect things to happen instantly and without effort, is a challenge. Because preparing the way for Jesus takes effort and time. And we are so often told that's, no, you don't need that. You just need the one click and it'll happen. But the truth of faith is that we need to prepare ourselves for whatever future we encounter. We need to be ready for whatever we're engaging with. We need to make that way, if that way is going to happen. And in a society that teaches immediacy, that can be hard. So right now, let's confess that sometimes the I want what I want and I want it now and without effort culture weaves its way into our hearts. Let's admit that through the prayer of confession. Please join with me in praying. Gracious and loving God, we are creatures of pride and appetite. We have been taught that we can have whatever we want and have it now. That we can't afford it means nothing because we can just borrow against our future to pay for our today. So we stumble forward deeper and deeper in debt, utterly unprepared for what the future holds. Forgive us for our short-sightedness, Lord. In Christ, please open our eyes. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. You can find that on page 640 in your pew Old Testament. Let us listen for God's holy word. Isaiah writes, A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. they will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are in Advent, and it's the season of preparation, a season of a time of discipline, of getting ready for something that is to come. And that's hard, I think, for us as a people, as a culture, because we are not as good at being actually prepared for things as we might like to think. This time that we live in is a time where, rather than looking to our future and planning for it and building towards it, we as a people are much more inclined to borrow from the future, even before we have encountered it. We are creatures of debt. And it's something forced upon us, and it's something that we've just been taught to expect. But debt is everywhere, which is awkward for me, because when I was a kid, my parents, mostly my dad, taught me ferociously and relentlessly to avoid debt at all costs. This is the joy of Scottish blood. Do not ever, ever be in debt. And the best way to do that is to never buy anything ever. That's the best way to do it. Just never have a thing. You not have to worry about it. But it was part of the way that they raised me, the idea that it is better to sacrifice now or not have now than it is to take from your future to feed your appetite of the moment. And it makes me feel weird in this society to have that as an ethic, like I'm out on the margins, like I'm some kind of misfit toy that doesn't quite match with what's expected. But it also has always struck me as strange of how deep that goes now, how deeply we are willing to take from our future for now. I mean, I look to the generation that my kids are in, which is saddled with levels of debt that are terrifyingly large. You have these hopeful young adults who have to pay off college educations that are now punitively expensive. It wasn't always like this. As my grandfather told me again and again and again, he paid off his college with 4 acres of potatoes, which, I mean, he grew potatoes, harvested them, and that paid for college. I'm not sure that would work now. But now you have 45 million American young adults who at last count, on average, were bearing debt of, it's like 28,700 this year, on average, which takes, I mean, that's average. Many are much more. This includes the folks who have barely any at all. And on average, that takes 10 to 20 years to pay off, depending on which of the studies you look at. And I think back to myself when I was 22, and if someone had told me, you know, oh yeah, you'll be paid off when you're 37. When you're 22, how old is 37? It's old. It's so old. 37 is so old. And now I'm like, wow, that's not old at all. But
that's not far away from me.
It's the reality of things now. And everything drives us to borrow from our futures. Like, all of us need vehicles to get around in. Our culture is structured that way. What is the best-selling vehicle in the United States of America today? The best-selling vehicle.
Ford
F-150. You got that right. It's a pickup truck. It's as it should be. But what's the average sales price of a Ford F-150 this year?
$37,000.
$47,000. Just a tick over. The average loadout on an F-150 is $47,000 this year, according to Kelley Blue Book. That's the average purchase price of that vehicle. And that's a lot. That's a lot. I mean, according to industry numbers, now because things are so expensive, you have now people taking out loans that are six-year car loans, seven-year car loans, and things last longer than they used to. I'll admit that, but that's a long time to be dropping $400 a month on a vehicle. Or credit card debt. What's the average amount of credit card debt in a U.S. household this year? You want to guess the number? The average debt people are carrying, bill to bill.
$7,000.
A little high. It's just under 10. It's like 9,500 on average. Or mortgage debt. Mortgage debt now in the United States, that's not fair. I know, it really isn't fair. It does not feel fair at all. Mortgage debt in the United States is $9.4 trillion. The only time it has ever been higher was right at the crash of 2006. Remember that? That was fun. That was a lot of fun. Corporate debt now. In the last couple of years, corporate debt has ballooned into the point where corporations are now borrowing at a level of 45% of the entire gross domestic product of the United States of America. Borrowing, borrowing, borrowing. And on top of all of that, there is the king of all debts, the largest of the debts, the sovereign debt of the United States of America, which this year is just a tick under $1 trillion borrowed just this year. I mean, you know, it's 900 billion in chains. You know, that's in Washington, that's almost real money. How much of that is that for every person over 18 in this room? If we divide that by citizens, assuming e pluribus unum, this is all part of us, how much do each of us owe as a citizen right now? Did I hear 50? Do I hear 55? Do I hear 55? Do I? A little more. $70,000 per American citizen. Does that feel like it's an easy payoff there? I mean, that's more than the student debt. What the hell is this? It's to the point where we don't even pay attention to it. It's just so big it feels impossible. And so we keep going down the path because we can't imagine or see our way to a future where that ever gets dealt with. Can we see how that's going to get dealt with? Do you see the route? I mean, it's no, absolutely not. Is this healthy? Is it a healthy way of being? To be blind to a future, to be borrowing from it. To be constantly saying, well, that'll happen later, we're just going to keep amassing and amassing and doing things without really taking into consideration what tomorrow brings. It isn't. It's the way we all live. It is. It's definitional. It's inescapable. But the danger with the future is we're never quite sure what it's going to bring. We don't have a sense of that. Yeah, maybe everything will keep going the way it's always gone, but it's filled with unknowns, and some unknowns are good unknowns, right? I mean, we will encounter surprises and new things in life, but sometimes the future brings unanticipated hardship. Sometimes there are challenges that press and test us, and If we are unprepared, if we have already borrowed from our future strength for something of the right now, it's kind of hard to deal with the future when it comes. Prophets deal with things like that, and that's where the prophet Isaiah is coming at us this morning. The prophet Isaiah preached a great deal about the future of Jerusalem and his people, and the challenges the people needed to take seriously as they lived in the world around them. And today we heard part of his proclamation to the people of Judah, and especially to the people in Jerusalem, where he preached and taught and challenged. Isaiah, the prophet, was not like some of the other prophets. We know Jeremiah, how beloved was he? The people in Jerusalem like him? They liked him plenty. Here, we've found a nice pit for you. Why don't we throw you in and let you live there for a while? It's really nice. The prophet Ezekiel, who was strange. People kind of liked him, but he was an entertaining performance artist at best and challenging on other times. But Isaiah had respect in the city of Jerusalem. He had the ears of leaders, the attention of kings. And when you find yourself around power, what is the easiest thing to do? If power says, "Tell me the truth," says the king to you, what are you going to say to the king? What would you like to hear, king? What is the truth that will appeal to you the most? That was not what Isaiah said. He didn't give easy platitudes. He didn't tell them the things they wanted to hear. He presented them with the reality of what life was like and what future they were moving towards. Because this prophet proclaimed at the time of the rise of Assyria as an empire. This was 800 years before Jesus, and Isaiah saw that Judah was just obsessed with power. All they cared about was power, and the people in Jerusalem only cared about their own wealth. And from there, they were complacent. They were letting the fabric of their culture come apart. And he saw how the powerful in Jerusalem celebrated, even though there were threats from the outside that they weren't taking seriously, even though the poor and the people in the rural areas of Judah were struggling and scrabbling. And that meant they, as a whole nation, weren't setting themselves towards the future in a way that was real. They were convinced they couldn't do any wrong because, well, they were God's people. You know, God loved them. They were God's covenant people. It didn't matter what choices they made or what directions they took. They'd be fine. God would protect them, even if they'd lost sight of their purpose and they were letting the essence of covenant come apart around them. But Isaiah wasn't letting them get away with that. He heard God telling him to challenge the people, and he did. Today's passage comes as part of that challenge. If we read all of these opening sections of Isaiah, there's a lot of ferocity there, where he lays out how they have betrayed the poor, how they have borrowed from the future God had set before them, and how that, unless they changed their path, was going to cost them. But he didn't just say that. He gave them also an image and a vision of what it was that God did intend for them. A kingdom of justice, a kingdom ruled so peacefully that you have all these different predator creatures and nasty, poisonous, snaky things, and everybody's fine. There was a vision of promise, but also a challenge to do more and to do better. And this wasn't just Isaiah saying, well, something good's going to happen at some point in the distant future. It wasn't pie in the sky by and by. It was the kind of vision that you take into yourself and say, there is a hope here, and it's worth striving for. That's an essential promise when we are called to act in the now in ways that live out God's covenant calling in our lives. It's the balance of changing where we are and striving for a future that is real, that is part of God's desire for us. And listening to Isaiah, knowing the society out of which we come, we find ourselves as a gathering of Christ's people, trying to wrap our heads around that and the place where we are right now as a people. There's an annual stewardship letter, because, you know, this is kind of the yearly stewardship sermon. My favorite. It's always my favorite thing. But it's a necessary thing. It's a necessary part of how we engage and how we live together, how we have this common house and space that is ours and the common purse that is ours. And the letter you got lays out that there are a lot of new joys that happened in the life of the church this year. New things we were doing, new missions we were connecting with, new ways we were serving the world, bringing healing, speaking words of justice, having nice green edible things come out of the ground and sharing in fellowship with neighbors. There was a lot that was gracious and good and blessed coming here this year, but it was also a more challenging year for our little church organizationally and financially than we would have liked, which means, rather simply, we spent a bunch more than we took in. By an amount that ultimately would be unsustainable if we kept down that path. This church, how much debt do we have as a church? None. We don't have any. We have no debt as a community, which is unusual. We had been prudent because we've had years where we've been doing fine, and though we've given to mission and supported, we've always set a little bit aside because you never know when things are going to shift. And they did a little bit this last year. We had some long-term and loved families move on, and giving just didn't match what we were spending. And there are different ways to deal with that. One way would be to say, you know, we still have some money in the bank. Let's just keep doing what we've been doing. We'll keep borrowing that down and just put that off, because it doesn't feel good. It's challenging to actually come right at the now you're living in. I mean, we could put it to Congress and see what they think we should do with our budget. Oh, yeah, we're fine. No, just like, I'm sure we can go find a loan somewhere. But that's not something you do. It's not something you do if you want to survive in the long term, because long-term health of a community means really seriously taking into account where you are right now. And if there are things that you need to do to make a gracious and hopeful future more possible, you do them now. And sometimes that's not easy. That's not an easy choice to make. I mean, we've made decisions as a community in this, as we look towards this next year, that are going to be a little challenging. After almost a decade, when Barry Thompson decided he couldn't do the Connection Cafe anymore, we're not going to take up that mission again in this next year. It was a good thing for community, but we're kind of not in a place where we can afford that. And we're also in a place where we need to seriously look at the single largest expense that this community has, which is... No. No, we're not that inefficient, Dick. We've got the largest expense for small churches is... Not the plumber. It tends to be the person who's standing here. And I realize in our culture that, again, the thing you do when an organization is in trouble is you pay the leadership more And then you fire everybody on the lower level because that's magically going to fix everything. But that has never worked. It doesn't do the thing. What you have to do is look to your largest cost center draw and figure how you can reduce it, which we are. So dropping a little bit on that front while still providing really my family what it needs is something we've had to do. I mean, it's just necessary. It was really difficult for me to persuade the session that that was a necessary thing to do, but it's where you've got to go. Because if you let the buildings fall, like, let's not fix roofs, let's not fix things, that just deteriorates. You're borrowing from your future. If you start abandoning all mission, like giving laptops to kids who are in need, and you start folding in on yourself, we as a community don't exist just for ourselves. We exist for the mission and sharing the gospel. That's why we're here. You don't cut into the heart of it, and I don't think we are. But what Session is challenging us to do this year, and what I think we need to be challenged to, is to do a couple of things. To say this is just necessary right now. This gives us more possibility for growth in the future. We're not borrowing from it. We're setting ourselves in a better position to be ready in 2 or 3 years as God gives growth to receive that. It also means that we're setting ourselves towards a future that is hopeful. I mean, it is. We as a community have a tremendous amount to offer. And so as we think about our giving this year, holding that is essential because we are giving to support us. We're giving to support this. And this community is a blessing. It's a blessing to Poolsville. It's a blessing to each and all of us as something that supports and sustains our growth in faith as we journey the path of Jesus. And it's just I like it. I mean, I love this community. And everything we can do to make that stronger is worth striving for in this year. So as we think about this upcoming year, I think it helps to hold the kind of challenge for the future that the prophet Isaiah offered his people in a time of testing, which is to both say, really take seriously where we are. And we're in the same place as so many other small churches in our society. It's hard to be a little guy in a place and a culture that doesn't really look to the small. But what we do well. And that's the piece Isaiah wants to hold on to. Be realistic about where you are and who you are, but have this vision of promise. Because there's so much that we can offer. There's so much grace that we can provide. And rather than doing what the culture does, which is borrow, grab, take away from the possibility of future, we're called to do something a little different, to look in hope towards that place where we are part of sharing the knowledge of the Lord, sharing Christ's grace with the world around us as the loving, kind, small faith community that we are. So let's look to this next year in hope. I have nothing but positive feelings about us as we move forward. And I have the sense that the Spirit is at work here, as it has always been. So let's trust that and look forward to a future where we will be contributing grace rather than drawing down, where we'll be pouring out an abundant, even though we are a humble fellowship. That's the hope of this next year and the years to come. Hold on to it, because it is important that we be prepared for that future. when we encounter it. Let that be so for all of us. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
If you have a vision of your future, if you have a vision of what it means to be living as you would hope to live, 6 months from now, 12 years from now, that's a blessing. But in order to get to that place you want to be, you have to be realistic about where you stand. Because if you're not sure where you're standing, you're not going to be able to take those steps towards that future you wish to have. And that means sometimes taking gut checks about where you are relative to a particular goal. But it doesn't mean abandoning that hope. That is true for us as a community. I think it's true for each of our souls as we strive towards being that person we wish to be. The place we get tripped up as we move towards that future is when we assume we are there when we're not. Or we tell ourselves things about what we are taking and how we are doing things that diminish the likelihood of that future coming to us. So as we step out these doors as a sweet little gathering of Christ's people, trust that that path is there for you personally and for us together. And then let's commit ourselves to moving as we need to move, both for ourselves and for this fellowship, doing what needs to be done so that we might thrive together on that path. That's God's desire for us, to be prepared for that journey in this season of Advent preparation. Let's trust and have hope and keep on moving and doing what we need to do to walk that path. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us, today and tomorrow and our whole lives long. Amen.